Good to have them back today. Let's take our Bibles tonight and 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. During the month of September, I just kind of wanted to kind of carry through the month a little bit of a stewardship theme on stewardship. And so preaching the messages on the unjust steward, then preaching the message on Matthew 25 on the 10 virgins and the talents. And, you know, I, like you, I'm sitting there on the front pew this morning, and Brother Todd announced, I didn't know what he was going to preach on, so he announced his text, Matthew 25, and I thought, well, this will be interesting now to see how he delivers this message and what's in it. I don't know about you, but it was a real blessing to me, and just goes to show you could probably preach on Matthew 25 10 times in a row and get a different take on it, amen? And don't allow yourself to get caught in that situation where you're reading through the Bible and you say, oh, I've read that before, I'm pretty familiar with it. And then you bypass right over and go to something else. And you never know, because the Holy Spirit might have something new and fresh in there and exactly what you need for that day and that moment. And so here in the month, you know, we got the emphasis on missions and stewardship. It all kind of ties together. So I wanted to take this message tonight out of 1 Corinthians 16. I titled it, Doing the Lord's Work in the Lord's Way, doing the Lord's work in the Lord's way. And obviously in stewardship, we want to, what we do as unto the Lord. The Allens, when they're here, when they serve, they do it as unto the Lord. Brother Ron, the praise team, musicians, anybody that works in the Lord's work, whatever we do in the Lord's work, we should do it as unto the Lord. And looking to see what we can learn from the Bible. Well, this text here, the first 12 verses, kind of gives us a feel for, in the Bible, how Paul looked at and explained to the church at Corinth of doing the Lord's work. See, one thing you need to keep in mind, I think this is God's work. It's His ministry. It's not ours. And so in stewardship, we need to understand that. Whatever it is that we do in the Lord's work, it's not my work, it's His work. It all belongs to Him. And so we do it for Him. You know, and so when we need to keep in mind, He has certain things that I think He wants to see here from this text here tonight, and we can learn from these verses. But look how he starts it out to the church here. Paul's kind of given his closing instructions of the church at Corinth, and he says in verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, talking about the collection they were going to take and to send down to Jerusalem, he said, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia. So it's kind of like Paul here is kind of like the father figure and had a heavy influence on these churches in Galatia. And he tells the church at Corinth, he said, even so in verse 1, do ye. He says in verse 2, upon the first day of the week, that'd be the Lord's day, it'd be Sunday, on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That's kind of where you get that terminology from. You hear about storehouse tithing, or you give it in store, you give it unto the Lord. We give our tithes on the Lord's day and that. And so he says here, on the first day of the week, let you lay by in store as God hath prospered you, and that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, he says in verse 3, and whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. He says, and if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. So when he looks at this here, they're gathering this, and he sends instruction to all these churches of Galatia and of Corinth and to take the offerings and to take some of the tithe. The tithe is to be used in the local New Testament church. They were to use it in the churches there in Galatia and here at Jerusalem. And so the things here that Paul speaks about here have to do with the work of the Lord. But one thing I want you to keep in mind, when he started into these closing instructions, look what he told them in verse 58 of the previous chapter. One verse there at the end of the chapter 15, he said, therefore, the church at Corinth, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, be unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. A great verse that precedes this as he gets ready to go into talking about taking the collection, talking about taking the offerings, talking about going down to Jerusalem and helping the church, that he said, number one, be steadfast. Number two, be unmovable. And then always abound in the work of the Lord. So Christians should be abounding in the work of the Lord. The work of the Lord really consists, I think, of two things. It boils down to evangelizing the lost and then exhorting or edifying or encouraging or build up or teaching the saints, the believers. And those were the two marks, two outstanding marks of the Lord Jesus in his ministry. Evangelizing the lost and then teaching the believers. And Jesus took 3 years of ministry, and he carefully taught the apostles. He carefully taught the believers. And that's really what much of the Lord's work is about, those two things, looking for that next person who can win to Christ, and then teaching them the Word of God. And you know, it's interesting to watch, especially new Christians, grow in the Lord and to be around and to be in church or to be involved in a Bible study group and see them nurture and grow. One of the highlights of the week for me is being able to go to AM Connection on Wednesday morning, because at that time it's 6:30. There's usually four of us there. It could be four, five, six, depending on the time of the year. But there's a fairly new convert in that group. And he has not yet joined our church, but he attends regularly and will go on some of our Golden Age activities with Brother Larry Anderson. And if you know Brother Larry in our church, he's a fairly new convert, new Christian. He's been on some of the Golden Age activities, but he's not fully grounded in the Christian faith yet. You can see it, and we can see it. He just went with us down in to Shipshawana, and it's exciting to see other Christians that come to the Lord and to watch him grow in Christ, and that's really what Christianity is about, is helping others grow in the work of the Lord. And so until Jesus went back to the right hand of the Father, and he taught those that knew him, and so it's always about preaching to the lost and then teaching the saved. That is the heart of the Great Commission. So when we truly do the work of the Lord, the Bible says here, don't lose sight of that. And you know that yellow sheet that we fill out there on stewardship, finding different ministries you can be involved in and work in. And we had one of our newer members this morning, the Matthews family that I was talking to, and he said, I got one of those yellow sheets and I'm filling it out. He said, there's a lot of things I can do on there. I just got to figure out what I can do and get involved and get engaged in. And I said, that's good. I said, that's how you'll grow and get involved somewhere. And so whatever you pick and choose to do through the course of a year is find a place. And through that whatever we do it as unto the Lord. We serve as unto the Lord. And so if you'll do that, when we truly do the work of the Lord, then our toil is not in vain. Then we find we're less likely to get discouraged, and we do it unto him, so it'll not be empty-handed or useless or unproductive. So in church work, you know, if you think about this here tonight, you can do a lot of activity without sometimes much work of the Lord being done. Think about that for a moment. You can be active in church work, and you got to ask yourself, though, the question, what I'm doing, is it really meaningful? Is it really helping? Is it really discipleship? Is it really trying to evangelize, to edify, to exhort, to encourage in the Lord's work? So be careful about ever being caught up in just to have an activity. Now, part of having an activity is for the purpose of fellowship. I understand that, and that's important, to have fellowship and to get together and to do something. And, you know, the group that went down to Shipshawana, you go to have fellowship and to be together. But while you're doing that, it's also an opportunity to exhort, to encourage, to edify, and to build up. And so, you know, Brother Paul, yesterday they took a group down to Cedar Point, and that. So you're with other Christians. Some may be older in the faith, some newer in the faith. And so part of being on that activity, you can still be engaged in doing stuff, but the purpose behind that is to be together, to fellowship together, to exhort, to encourage. And so when the work we do, though, is of little importance or done in the flesh or done half-heartedly, then it'll never be fruitful, and that work becomes vain in the Lord. So a building must be built according to the architect's plans, and the Lord's work is done the same way. So here's a few things I want to give you out of this text tonight, and simply this, and look at it in verse 5. And we'll just read verse 5 down to verse 12, and I'll give you four or five things out of this text that I think is things that Paul wants us to see or have that is doing the Lord's work the Lord's way. Verse 5, and if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I will come unto you, and when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timothy there, come and see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I looked for him with the brethren. And as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you and with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. So here's just a few thoughts. Let's go back to verse 5. And I think the first thing you got to see here in Paul's message here to the church at Corinth was the vision that he had. Look at the vision in verse 5. And simply the vision is, now I'll come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, and then I do pass through Macedonia. So the Lord's worker, God's, must have a vision for the future. You got to look at the opportunities around you, and so that are not yet met, and plan ahead. Look for more ways to serve. Look for more doors to open up. Look for more opportunity. There might be more opportunity around you. You just got to look for it. So Paul here, he had to change his plans and decided to visit Corinth later on and kind of put that off and then to go through Macedonia. So Paul had to change his plan a little bit. And even while Paul was busy, he was planning his next steps in the ministry. He was going to Macedonia, then he was going on to Corinth, and then he was going on to Jerusalem. And so when you look at this here, you know, yeah, we need to plan, we need to strategize, we need to look ahead, and with a sense of a vision and expectancy. I read this example here the other day. It talks about William Carey. William Carey, while working as a cobbler in England, was moved by a great spiritual need for other parts of the world. So here's what he did. He placed a map in front of his workbench, and as he worked, he thought, he prayed, he wept about what needed to be done and how the Lord could use him in other parts of the world to meet those needs. And when he had finally arrived in India, his first mission assignment was to begin the work. He taught, he preached, he translated, he printed material, helped prepare the way for every missionary who has ever served since. William Carey was prepared when that opportunity came upon him. So the first part of it is vision. Paul had a vision. Paul knew where he was going, what he was going to do as he laid that out. He wanted to go to Corinth, but he said, before I go to Corinth, I'm going to go to Macedonia, then I'm going to go to Corinth, and we're going to take this offering down to the saints, the poor saints at Jerusalem, and to be a blessing and a help into that ministry there. So vision was absolutely crucial. Second thing is, look at it in verse 6, is flexibility. Now this one, the Lord has taught me over the years, you've got to be flexible in ministry. Flexibility in verse 6, it may be that I will abide, yea, winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. Okay, Paul had a vision. He knew he was going to Macedonia, knew he was going on to Corinth, knew he was going on to Jerusalem, but you got to have some flexibility. You got to be a little flexible because sometimes things just don't unfold exactly like we think it's going to unfold, on the time frame that we think it's going to unfold in. So I think it's absolutely crucial here that we see this. Yeah, we need to plan. We need to have vision. We need to plan ahead. But we also need to be a little bit flexible. Our plans should always be subject to the Lord's revisions. I like what Jack used to say to me all the time. He's in heaven now. But he used to say to me all the time, he said, Rick, just find out what side God's on and then get there as quick as you can. Stay there until God moves. And he said, just stay on the Lord's side. And so I always thought that was interesting. I said, Jack, you have a way of just kind of putting words and making common sense. And I thought, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And that. So flexibility. And so the future does not always come together as we think it will. You might look forward and have vision or have a plan and think, okay, this is the way I want it, this is the way I envision it, this is the way I hope it'll come out. But then you might look back and say, God, that's not how it all came together. Let me show you a verse. You ought to look at this verse in James 4:15. And this is a great verse here in the Bible, how we should approach every day about this and being flexible. It says in James 4 and verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And so I, you know, kind of think about that in James and what he says, you know, it's really, as we get up every day, we might have a vision, we might have a plan, we might have a direction, know where we're going, but we also need to be flexible and say, Lord, if it's your will and maybe you direct my course or direction another way, then you just need to be flexible in that and allow the Lord to move you. So Paul was not fickle here, he was not indecisive as the Corinthians accused him of, but he was realistic and he was humble. And so sometimes things happen. Did you ever think about this? Sometimes things happen that's out of our control. You can't do anything about that. And so sometimes things happen that's out of our control. So we need to be humble and trust God in his sovereignty that he knows what he's doing. So flexibility. All of his life, David Livingston wanted to be a missionary to China. And even in his old age, God had sent him, but God sent him to Africa. He did not go to China because he wanted to do the Lord's will. He was flexible. And so wherever Paul was to go, he wanted to the support of the Corinthian church. And that you may send me here on my way implies that they're equipping or they're encouraging him on this mission. Whatever God had in mind. Paul really in verse 6 is saying, God, wherever you lead, he says, that there I will abide and I'll winter with you, and that you may bring me upon my journey whithersoever I go. You may have a vision, you may have a direction, you may know where you're headed, but you also need to be flexible and wait on the Lord, because sometimes God may just change your direction a little bit to accomplish his sovereign hand, his sovereign purposes. Here's the third thought. Look at it in verse 7 and 8. The thoroughness in the present service that Paul served in. He said in verse 7 and 8, he said, for I will not see now, by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. And then for a great door and then an effectual open unto me, and there are many adversaries. So when you look at this here, doing the Lord's work in the Lord's way demands a thoroughness in work that we're presently doing. You know, I love it because I watch Brother Ron and the praise team and the workers that work in musicians. He has a perfection way of looking at things that I want certain things certain way, and they work and they labor to get to that week after week. I saw it today in the Allen family. I kind of felt the same way with the Allens when they were here. They had a certain expectation. They had a certain. You just don't get up and do. Correct me if I'm wrong, brother, but you just don't get up and do what the Allens did today if they did not put a lot of thought and prayer and preparation into that. Amen? Is that right? And I mean, to have those six children up there with them and do what they do, they have prepared for that. They are thorough in that. They are diligent in that. And they work very hard at doing what they do, and that's why they excel at what they do. And so doing the Lord's work in the Lord's way demands a thoroughness in the work that we're presently doing. And Paul had a strong commitment here to thoroughness. Being superficial or temporary had no part in Paul's ministry. And he wanted everything to be sound. He wanted everything to be permanent and worthwhile and lasting. So the Great Commission requires thoroughness. Making disciples to all nations requires thoroughness and is only the beginning of that. So here Paul, in this text, he had pastored in Corinth for a year and a half. So you can understand his desire to get back there. And so he wanted to, at least in verse 6, he says here, to winter with you, or to spend the winter there with those Christians and to be with them before he went on to Jerusalem. And Paul wanted to teach every Christian everything he could at every opportunity he had. So thoroughness does not depend solely on the length of time we spend at a particular place doing a particular ministry. You can put a lot of time into a ministry and still not be very thorough and effective. And whatever we take on in ministry, we must prepare for it and work at it and be ready for that and to be effective at it. And so in ministry, if you really think about it, real ministry is hard work. I don't know about many of you, and you say, well, I know you're a pastor, Annette, but Sundays, and I'm sure maybe Brother Ron could relate to this and what he does, and that sometimes you go after the Lord's Day on Sunday night or whatever, or Monday the next, it's exhausting work through the Lord's Day and getting engaged and doing what you're doing. So, you know, you can't do it and do it half-hearted. You got to put everything that your heart into it. So Paul intended here to remain at Ephesus until Pentecost. He still had a work there to do. And so Luke 16:10, only the person who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful than in much. So don't expect God to open greater doors of ministry if we've not served well where we currently serve. We got to do well where we currently serve and give it our very best. So Paul had been faithful to preaching to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 14, and the door then had opened to Troas in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and other places. So Paul had the right here to ask these Christians, the elders here, to pray that still even more doors would open up and allow them the opportunity to go and to serve. So the opening and closing of doors, you know, it's very evident. Sometimes God does that. God comes along and he'll close a door. Sometimes God comes along and opens a door. So you got to go through the open doors and then be thorough when you do go through that door. Our job is to enter those doors and then only those doors that he opens for us. And sometimes God closes the door and we don't understand why. But we just need to trust the Lord. For example, you think about Stephen and Philip. Stephen and Philip started out as deacons doing practical work and feeding the widows in the church at Jerusalem in order to relieve the apostles so they could devote their work to prayer and the ministry of the word in Acts chapter 6. And Stephen and Philip then became outstanding evangelists after they learned how to serve. They learned how to serve as deacons within the body of believers. And so it was through Stephen's spirit-filled preaching that the Apostle Paul then was converted and then brought into ministry to serve the Lord. So becoming a faithful servant of the Lord does not begin with some great opportunity, but with doing the best possible work for Him in routine things. Now, I know some people, depending probably on what your temperament is, it may be easier for some just to do routine things. I don't know about you, but don't you enjoy sometimes your schedule? You have certain routines and certain things the way you do in the Lord's work, and you get in a certain routine, certain days of the week doing certain things. Now, I realize if you're not careful, that can get in a rut and it can get mundane or whatever, but I think at the same time, blessings come out of being routine, very disciplined and routine in what we do, and Paul found that to be true. So if we do not give God our best where we are now, there is no assurance that He'll give Him our best anywhere else. So the only opportunity we can be sure of is having the one that we have right now at this particular time in this particular place. Look in verse 9. Verse 9 here then is number 4, the fourth thought on this, the acceptance of opposition as a challenge. For a great door, this great door of opportunity opened up and effectual is open unto me, Paul said, but there are not what? One adversary, but there are many adversaries. So you can just rest assured, if you try to move forward on missions, we try to move forward on hiring a youth pastor, well, we try to move forward on doing this or doing that or whatever it is we're going to do, there will be adversaries along the way. There will be opportunities that will come along that will try to discourage or hinder or slow down or affect the work and the cause of Christ. But we got to stay true. We got to keep a vision, and we got to be flexible to what the Lord has called us to. We got to be thorough in what we do, and here we got to realize there is an enemy out there. We need to learn to accept opposition as a challenge and rather than a hindrance. So there is no such thing in ministry as ministry without problems. If you think you can enter into ministry, I've been involved in this for over 45 years. And if you think about it, there's always at some time some kind of adversary or some kind of a problem or some kind of a whatever that you're going to have to deal with, some kind of opposition or something along the way. Satan will see to that. Always. Great works for God get opposition. Opposition, though, did not intimidate the Apostle Paul. He flourished on that. Why is that so is because the devil's greatest opposition is the Lord's greatest work. It's a great opportunity for us to see God's hand at work in the hearts and the lives of people. So be prepared for it. There will be adversaries in the gospel, in the Lord's work, but there is always a wide door for effective service that is opened up, and we need to keep focused on that and the vision and move forward for the cause of Christ. So don't be surprised when problems, sometimes people get a little bit surprised and a problem comes up, and it's kind of like it shocks or it shakes their world, like, well, just prepare yourself for it, because it's probably going to be there. Anytime you take a new endeavor or you expand on the vision or you try to move forward or you try to do whatever, opposition will be there. So when problems surface, people get discouraged. Or things happen that just don't go right. And so, again, I go back to my good friend Jack, who's in heaven today. He says, Rick, when things don't go right, when opposition shows up and there's a lot of adversaries around, just get ready, because God's getting ready to do something. And you don't know what it is, but just be prepared. God is up to something. So just be prepared for that. And I've always thought that was a good thing to keep in mind. Here's the last thing tonight in this, and it's verse 10 and verse 11. And that is team spirit. It says in verse 10, now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. And let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, and that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. So I just put down here in verse 10 and verse 11 as team spirit. And by that meaning, Paul was a team worker. He always worked closely with other Christians. Paul was, sometimes we look at the Apostle Paul like he was a superstar Christian. Well, he was a very dedicated Christian, there's no doubt about that. But he always worked closely with other Christians, Paul did. He was not really a superstar. He did not lord it over the people that were below him. He worked along beside. Here he's saying Timothy. He said, now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. So it's all about team. It's all about working together. And Paul acknowledged his dependence on the Lord and other Christians. Paul did not see himself as being self-sufficient. Timothy was a co-worker. Epaphroditus was a co-worker. John Mark was a co-worker. Onesimus was a co-worker. Philemon was a co-worker. So God calls some people to be leaders, others to serve, and oftentimes those serving end up becoming leaders. And so when you look at it here, we see some great things that God was doing. And that last verse that he wraps up here is then be sensitive, which would be really number six if you want a sixth one, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's leading. Look at it. He says, as touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desire to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. We always, and here's the last thought with this, is we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. Doing the Lord's work the Lord's way is being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in all that we do. Paul had a strong feeling that Apollos should accompany the other brethren, Timothy and Erastus of Corinth. Paul even encouraged him, the Bible says, greatly. And Paul thought that this was the right thing for Apollos to do. Apollos here was convinced that the Lord wanted him to stay in Ephesus for a while longer, just as Paul was convinced that Paul should stay in verse 8. So when Apollos objected, it was not at all his desire to come now. Paul respected his convictions. Even an apostle, if you think about it, even an apostle, as Paul was not a mediator between God and other Christians. Most important thing is we follow the Lord's will and the Lord's direction in our lives. God may use different persons to show his will, but his basic leading is always direct. And when the right time would come, when he has the opportunity, Apollos here then would go to Corinth as the Lord had so led him. And so in the meantime, we do continue to serve where the Lord wanted him. So it's absolutely essential that God's workers, that we all work. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the whole team of workers here at First Baptist Church. I thank God for Ron Newsom and Rosalind Tomasi and Paul Tacey and Bud and Tammy Smith and all of our deacons and our teachers and workers. It takes a team of people to do the work of the Lord. Tammy Phillips has been a huge blessing here in the ministry and the work of the Lord. Bunny McDonald has been a huge blessing. You go right on down the list. All the work, it takes a team. I realize tonight this is the core. This is the heartbeat. This is the team leadership, if you will, that it takes to get the work of the Lord done. And so that's what unity is all about. We are one in Christ. We are one in each other. And if we all work the work of the church, it's the Lord's work, then we all have the work together of him because we are one in him. Now, let me just close with this thought regarding Adam Wade. Let me just share this with you. Taking this tonight, we must do the work of the Lord together with these thoughts in mind. And that I shared with you tonight. But we're getting ready to have here within the church body a young man that's 23 years old. He's got a year out of Bible college. He's taken on a new wife. He's excited, enthused, and ready to go. He has some training experience. But I would also say to you, as the senior pastor, that we need to help, we need to encourage, we need to love on this man and his family, and to take them in and take them by the hand and be a support and be an encouragement along the way. He's not going to know everything. He's not going to be a miracle worker. He's not going to be able to come in and wave his magic wand. All of a sudden, you got 50 young people on the other side of the building. But I think it's a start in the right direction, and I think it's a way to build relationships. And he is eager and excited, and we got to allow him the opportunity to come in, to get settled in, to get some roots planted down, to be a part of the body of believers in Christ. And so the youth department's responsibility is all of ours. That's what I'm saying tonight. It's a team effort. But yes, the focus, his specific job, written job description will be the youth ministry and student ministries. And to engage every young person within our body of Christ and to be able to disciple them and build relationships with them and then to be able to reach outside that and to reach other young people for the cause of Christ. So whether Adam Wade succeeds or fails depends largely, strongly on all of us. Amen? Together. Plus, he's got to carry his weight and his responsibility. So it's a team effort in a way. So I will always be eternally grateful when I made the trip from Texas to Michigan to come to Wayne to this church years ago.
I said, and I think about young Adam, this congregation that loved on me and my wife and helped us and got settled in and trained in the ministry. I thank God for godly deacons and the pastoral staff and the secretarial staff and others, and just one part of that whole body that be able to make that go. So I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do in the future going forward, but it's going to take all of us working together. And so what we want to look for is ways to do the Lord's work, the Lord's way, and in the body of Christ, in a unity and a harmony and a oneness and a togetherness as we move forward in the cause of Christ. And so so we have great opportunity ahead of us. Let's just see what the Lord's going to do. And I also share with you from this text, and as we see, there will be many adversaries along the way. So I guarantee you try to move forward, the Satan's going to know that, understand that, and try to figure out where the weaknesses are, the weak loops or whatever, and try to affect the congregation, the body as a whole. And so we just need to be wise. We need to look to the Scripture. We need to look like what Paul is saying here and teaching the church at Corinth. Take the principles and apply them in the Lord's work. We've got to have vision, no doubt about that. You've got to have vision to be able to move forward. You've got to have a flexibility in the ministry. I understand that. You've got to be able to move forward. You think God's going to do certain things a certain way, and then maybe he doesn't quite do it just like that, and it comes together another. We need to be flexible. We need to be thorough in what we do and to help and to come along beside, encourage, and that along the way. And so we need to understand that there will be adversaries, and we need to be prepared, and we need to love on. You know what I love? One of the scriptures, we were in Colossians the other night in the scriptures, and Paul was talking about in the church at Colossae that their hearts, that they were knit together in love. I thought, what a powerful verse to think about that, that if the body of Christ can be so knit together in love, you can conquer anything, do anything, and move forward for the cause of Christ. And to God be the glory, great things he will do and hath done. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you tonight. God, we thank you for Paul. We thank you for his message here as he prepares the church to take these offerings, the tithes, the offerings, to go on down to Jerusalem and take that offering to Jerusalem. God, we thank you for the leadership of the churches there at Galatia, the example that they set, and Paul and his work and his ministry and his vision and his love and his flexibility and his heartbeat, his thoroughness, and all that he puts on display here, the teamwork that went into all this. Paul just didn't do all this by himself. He couldn't. It required a great team of workers to be able to do what Paul was able to do through the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. God, it's going to take more than one person. It's going to take more than one pastor or a deacon or one youth pastor or whatever. It's going to take all of us working together, pulling together, harnessing our energies together, our vision together, our willingness to serve together. And so, God, we pray that you would give us clear direction, clear vision on what you want to do to be able to reach that next young person, that next child for Christ, the next lost person that we can share the gospel with. And God, we thank you for days like today that the Allen family could be with us. We thank you for the display of their young people, their children, how that they can be godly and serve you and love what they do in the Lord's work. And God, I thank you. There's young people like that willing to go up and down America serving you and getting the message of the gospel out. And so God, we do pray your hand to be upon all that we do going forward. In the cause of Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Good to see you.